This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
And we have our next guest on the line at the moment, and he's no stranger to Joy. We've spoken to him many times before, but it's very lovely to have him back. We have Kent Morris on the line, who is an artist and currently a finalist in the Telstra National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Art Award. Kent, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's just always a pleasure to be here, Eve and David. Thank you for having me on.
And congratulations on being part of the shortlist for this award.
Well, thank you kindly. It's number 6, so I thought I was going to have an unbroken run of 10, but we missed last year, so we had 5 in a row, and then we missed one, then we're back for the 6th one.
Right, okay. So, Ken, for those who don't...
Don't worry, I'm as surprised as anybody else.
So, for anyone that doesn't know who you are, give us a bit of a background on who you are as an artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hi everyone. Look, I'm Kent Morris. I'm a Barkindji artist, and my father and both his parents are Barkindji people, and heading right back to our apical ancestors there around northwestern New South Wales. Barker means river, so we're river people of the river, and it's the Darling River, We like to call it the Darling Barker,
right?
Which is often in the newspaper for a lot of the wrong reasons around that. Mismanagement of that beautiful waterway, which goes from Wentworth, you know, up through Wilcannia, Tilpa and Louth, where my nan and pop were born, and then heads right up to Burke, which is northern Barkindji country, or Gunu Barkindji, my ancestral homeland, that I have Irish heritage on my mother's side.
Yep.
My artistic history is far too long to talk about.
hold on. just one thing I want to ask you. How did you end up in Melbourne, you know, like, considering that you're from up north?
Yeah, absolutely. So my father's journey is one that's was not uncommon during the time. In 1938, he was born in Tipperborough, which is 300 k's north of Broken Hill. Nan and Pop were 15 and 17, respectively, when they married. So Dad was he was born off country in Tipperborough. There's a lot of Barkindji people, Wokamara people, a lot of other mobs that have moved into Tipperborough. Dad had a complex history. A lot of people don't believe me when I say that he was born in a tin shack. At home was a tin shack with dirt water, no dirt floor, no running water or electricity, and living in dire poverty and with a lot of discrimination and racism. So he was fostered out through the Aborigines Welfare Board to a white family in Broken Hill, where he was able to complete his high school. And then a story that we never got to ever hear was how he made that shift from being about 16 years old to go from Broken Hill to Melbourne to join the Air Force. But things that we can garner over time, and with that generation is pretty much trying to find a way away from discrimination and racism and all that sort of environment that he grew up with, and just to join a services, you know, and hide his heritage, hide who he was. It was, you know, pre-referendum, and he'd already experienced so many things. That were disadvantageous. So he came to Melbourne, joined the Air Force. And then my sister and I were both born on Bindale and Woolgarookabar country up in Townsville.
Hey!
So we've had a bit of a journey around the place. And then we grew up mainly in and around Melbourne in Braybrook on Wurundjeri country, and then out the Bayswater still on Wurundjeri country. And then I spent most of my time after going to art school, you know, around town, either on Wurundjeri country or Bunurong country in around in the suburbs of Melbourne.
Right, okay. So, Kent, describe to our listeners what art you're interested in. What are you doing as an artist?
Right, so I've been... My practice is a digital practice based on digital photography, but it's now developed into moving image works. So I'm out and about photographing native birds, interacting with the built environment and reconstructing that built environment to try to represent the ongoing histories and knowledges and philosophies that are embedded in this country that aren't often being utilised or aren't often known about, that would be greatly beneficial, you know, to the country as a whole to find that combination or that kind of interaction between the Western kind of, you know, systems we have and that 65,000 plus years of Indigenous knowledge and culture and responsibility that's embedded in this country. So trying to bring those stories to the fore, but also to make comment also around the changing, ever-changing environment and the destruction of habitat for our wildlife. You know, why do we have so many birds in the urban environment? Why are birds on roofs?
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't not their intention, but, you know, there's so much change and destruction to habitat. You know, we're one of the highest land clearing countries in the world, and we have also the most, you know, animals on the endangered list, and we've got a terrible run of extinct mammals and a couple of birds as well. So just to try and highlight that for First Nations philosophies and through a First Nations lens, sustainability and care for country and caring for not only everyone but all living critters as interconnected, and that you have a responsibility around that is something that overall, not only in Australia but globally, we've lost sight of.
Yeah. Now, tell us, what does it mean to you as an artist to be a finalist in this award and also part of this exhibition that's on up in the Northern Territory? What does it mean to you?
Well, it means you get to get out of bloody cold Melbourne and go to Darwin with 32 degrees, blue sky, sunshine.
Hey, hold on. It's raining. Hasn't it been raining up there of late?
In Darwin?
Yeah. Didn't they get that rain through a couple of days ago?
When you go up there for the Natsias in August, it's blue sky, sunshine, 32 degrees every single day.
All right, rub it in.
But more importantly, it's just, you know, it's an extraordinary honour, and you get to see so much amazing artworks, not only at the Natsia Awards, but the Darwin Aboriginal Art Fair, and meet and interact with, you know, other artists from different communities and from around the country and curators and meet people. It's just a real celebration of Indigenous art and culture. And it's that kind of a time also just to see your work in context with some of the extraordinary artists we have from around the country. So it's, I just feel on it every time I'm shortlisted.
Yeah.
Not only to be in that, yeah, incredibly esteemed company of artists up there and emerging artists and some of our just, you know, most established and celebrated artists. But just to see those works talking to each other and having those conversations, whether, you know, the works are from the urban environment, as most of mine are, or, you know, beautiful artworks from remote community art centres, to see those themes and those topics and those cultural interactions and again, just the, I guess, the opportunity to meet so many people and have a yarn about this, that, and the other.
And the wonderful thing is that then you're part of this exhibition that goes from the 6th of August to the 5th of January. So if people are up in Darwin at, you know, like, to go and check it out, it sounds... So, you know, like, that must be rewarding being part of a prestigious exhibition as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, look, absolutely. It's really a great honour. And I think as most artists that want to enter into this award to try and get shortlisted, you start working on the piece pretty much, you know, a year in advance, because it's going to be a new work, new work never seen. Yeah, the competition's reasonably fierce, you know. There's only a certain amount of space up at the Museum and Art Gallery of the Northern Territory. So I like it as an annual challenge, in a sense, to really develop something new, and this is the first moving image work that's been selected. All the others have been photographic work.
Oh, wow.
It's something new. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good. With that in mind, like, for anyone that doesn't know, there's 64 finalists selected out of 221 entries. The majority of finalists are from the Northern Territory, and you're the only finalist from Victoria.
Thanks, mate. Representing Victoria.
Yeah, sure. Beauty. Are. But are you seeing, like, a big difference in the style of work that's coming out from, say, like, this part of Australia as opposed to, like, over in the north or the west of Australia?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a bit lonely this year, being the only person from the southeast. Normally, there's two of us, you know, at least, and maybe a couple from New South Wales as well. But look, I think just geographically, it can be challenging, and particularly if you've got my photographic works were generally pretty large, and you've got to be able to make them and frame them and ship them up, you know, from Melbourne to Darwin. It's a little bit challenging, and then you know, I always cross my fingers that someone would buy the work so I didn't have to ship it back. It's a fair way.
There you go. Special request, anyone out there?
well, this one's different. It's a video work.
Exactly. So, you know,
put that in a Dropbox, so that's okay. But look, fortunately, it's a really supportive environment up there. So many people from around Australia and internationally coming into Darwin for the Batsiers and for the art fair. So I've been very fortunate that I think in nearly all the years, bar one, all the works didn't have to come back to Melbourne because someone purchased them to acquire them. So,
but what does this mean, though? You know, like that it's now a video. Can somebody buy that, or how? What happens there?
Yeah, no. Look, with it's such a huge, it has been for a long time, the video art. So they're additioned just like a photographic print. So there might be, if you look, say even if you went to Melbourne Art Fair, there was that beautiful room set up with the video works by extraordinary artists. And you generally saw that they were maybe editions of five with a couple of artist prints, or editions of eight. So they're sold just as additions, similar to how a photographic work would be sold, just that it's a digital file.
Yeah, because you're often seeing now in foyers of big corporations that they do actually have these video works on a screen, don't they?
Look, it is becoming more and more popular to have moving image works and video works in spaces to activate them and provide some interest and keep people's minds ticking over and the brains working. So, look, I'm all for, you know me, I'm all for art in public spaces and activating areas with contemporary art, and obviously more opportunities for artists as well.
Well, even to the extent where you had a billboard on Fitzroy Street, was that about a year and a half ago?
Oh, that was that mid-August lockdown, is it? Oh, yeah, no, well, it would be over two, wouldn't it? Years now, I don't know.
How do we know? The COVID
calendar.
Yes. So you've been doing stuff like this in a roundabout way, haven't you?
Well, look, even with the digital billboard, they were static, but they were, you know, digitally projected, but this is, a full moving image video work constructed from my photographic works. Yeah. They're quite unique, and it's been really exciting doing them. The first one was a huge commission for University of Technology Sydney on that Broadway screen, which is about 12 metres by 3 metres. So that was the first, I was invited to make the work for that wonderful program, which I'd never done before, and found it quite challenging. But around this idea of what I'm photographing is in the real world, and you know, things are moving and shifting, the light and the birds and where they're interacting. So I'm capturing that and freezing that moment into a still image, and now these videos are reactivating that moment into a whole new level and depth of motion and kaleidoscopic kind of infinity, in a way, the way the patterns interact and morph and change. So it's quite an interesting process to take something moving from the real world, to freeze it and stop it, and then to reactivate it into a moving image.
Yeah. And Kent, once it's up, the exhibition is open, and the awards are announced, can we actually see your work? How does it work on that front? Do you have to actually go to the gallery?
Right. Well, I was going to say, in the old days, definitely get a ticket, get on a plane to Darwin. But, you know, as has happened through the COVID period and beyond, Magnet do an extraordinary 3D walkthrough of the exhibition. So, from the comfort of your own home, no matter where you are, any time of day, you can enter into a virtual tour. And it's a replica of the gallery. It's an absolute replica of the gallery with all the artworks. It's quite extraordinary.
Fantastic. So, well, it sounds really awesome. And did you say this is number six for you, that you've been shortlisted?
Yeah, it seems extraordinary. I mean, once I got to five, I said to my partner, well, we might as well go for 10 straight. As soon as I said that, As soon as I said that, we didn't get in the next year.
Jinxed it.
Yeah, I think the ancestors are going, you just settle down there.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get it in front of yourself. Yeah.
Get ahead of yourself.
Yeah. So, Kent, congratulations on being shortlisted for the sixth time. That's pretty amazing. And have fun at the opening of it when it opens in Darwin on the 6th of August.
I'm always thinking of all my Melbourne friends and family and supporters when I'm up in Darwin and all your mum and dad.
Yeah, don't rub it in again. Don't rub it in. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thanks, David and Eve. Thank you.
Right, see you later.
Thanks. So we've been chatting with Kent Morris, who is an artist and finalist in the prestigious Telstra National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Art Awards. If you want to check out the virtual gallery once it opens from August 6th, you can look at www.natsiaa.com.au. You're listening to the Joy Sunday Arts Magazine. We'll be back with you shortly.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.